Welcome to Cradles and Candles, a podcast where we explore the magic in every day. I'm your host, Elowyn Sage, and whether you're a parent, caregiver, or simply curious about your spiritual journey, this is a place to learn, reflect, and connect. So light a candle, take a breath, and let's step into magic together. It feels so good to be back here again, recording a podcast. I want to start off today by being open and honest about where I've been lately. And these past few months have been a little quieter on my path overall. I have been struggling to record the podcast and honestly do anything in my path that I've talked about in the last couple of episodes. And that's because I've been moving through a really big change in my life right now. And that change is the fact that I'm pregnant. And I found out that I was pregnant shortly after the second episode of this podcast. And to be completely honest, the first trimester was very hard. It was more difficult than with my first child. Between the nausea and the exhaustion and just all the emotions that have come with growing a new life, I found it incredibly difficult to stay consistent with my spiritual practice the way I normally do. Adding the podcast on top of it made it much more difficult for me to have motivation to do things when my energy levels were so low. And it was even impacting my daily life. So I had to pick and choose what I was going to put my energy into. But as I begin to surrender to these changes, I have realized that this too is a sacred part of my path and my spirituality. And the fact that my body knows what it needs. The seasons shift, just like we all do. And just as the earth rests before it has renewal, I had to honor this moment of stillness in my own life. I am in the second trimester now and can happily say I have more energy. I'm feeling a little bit better, but I still want to say that the recording of this podcast might not be weekly. It might go every other week. It might go a couple weeks in between. I know it's been about 2 weeks since I recorded and posted, and I'm just asking everyone to give me grace and understanding in this different period of my life as I navigate pregnancy for a second time. Every pregnancy is different, and this one is showcasing to be very different than my last one. So I need to work through that, and I'm slowly understanding how to make it a part of my path. And so that is where I've been, what I've been up to for the last couple of weeks. But hopefully, here's to an easier dream, more energy, and a beautiful part of my life that my family is embarking on. And so to continue on with just news about my life and what I've gone into, we all know that recently Samhain had happened. And through that, it was a great reminder of just how connected I still am with my higher self and the goddess, even though I have taken a break from my daily practices. And even when I feel uncertain, that ritual of Samhain that I just went through made me feel grounded and that I'm still on the right path, even though my path has changed to become a little bit rocky. And this became because during Samhain at my temple, I was unexpectedly asked to lead the ritual. And I found out about 5 minutes before it began, if even that. At first, my heart started racing. I wasn't prepared. I was nervous because I didn't know anything about the ritual. I hadn't looked at what the ritual was supposed to look like. I wasn't told what it was supposed to kind of follow. My high priestess had planned it with a couple of other people because I was taking a step back because I was feeling so sick. And so they had planned a whole journey outside of the temple space, and they had someone who was going to run the ritual while they were all outside. That person ended up not being able to be there last minute, and so she asked me to take on. And so I wasn't prepared. And a big part of me just wanted to shrink back and say, no, someone else take it. But I chose to step forward. And as soon as I did that, and I did the cleansing and I entered the sacred space, something shifted. And it honestly felt as if the goddess herself took my hand and guided me through every word and every movement, despite me knowing nothing about what this ritual was supposed to be. The energy in the room was powerful. It was thick with remembrance, transformation, and just the love of my entire temple group standing right by me. And by the end of it, I realized that even in times when I feel off balance, spirit is still there, and my higher self is still there, and the goddess is still with me, leading the way. And Savon reminded me that endings and beginnings are never separate. They flow into one another, just like death and rebirth. And so that was a really big reminder that I needed for myself. Even though my spiritual path, again, has taken a backside, and I need to figure out how to create new daily practices to fit in, because I don't have as much energy or time as I thought I would have when I became pregnant again. And it was just a wonderful reminder that even when we feel like we're lost and uncertain and that we're falling apart completely, that you're not. There's a path that you're still on. And even though it feels like everything's falling apart, just like we have the tower card in the tarot deck, things are also rebuilt from what has fallen apart. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves of that. So with that in mind, what I thought about talking about for today's episode was to focus on the Wheel of the Year, the 8 Sabbaths that guide us through the cynical nature of life in the seasons. And I thought it would be a perfect time to do it because as we move towards December, and as we have just gone through Samhain, which is New Year, it's just the perfect time to revisit these festivals, their meanings, and what they can teach us. And so we're going to go through each one in order. I'm going to share a little bit of background and history, some common correspondences, and then just a few simple practices or reflections that we can do to honor them as the year and the wheel turn once again. So let's take a deep breath, settle in, and let's travel the wheel together from the darkness of winter into the light of summer and back again. And so with that, the next Sabbath that we are going to be celebrating, because Samhain just entered, is Yule. And this is known as the winter solstice, and it occurs around December 21st. Yule marks the rebirth of the sun. And from that point on, the sun starts coming out a little bit more. It's the longest night of the year, but from this moment forward, the light begins to return, which is beautiful. The Sabbath celebrates hope, renewal, and just a quiet promise of life stirring beneath the frozen ground. Many Yule traditions were woven into what we know as the modern day Christmas, such as the evergreen trees, candles being burned, gift giving, and then feasting have all come from these ancient festivals. Some of the correspondences with this Sabbath, as far as colors go, typical ones, we know red, green, gold, white. The symbols are evergreens, the holly, pine cones, candles, of course, and then the Yule log. And then the deities that work with this are the sun god. We also know the holly king and the oak king. And then Bregir and Freya sometimes make an appearance in Yule as well, especially with the coming of the other Sabbaths following this. So some practices that you can do is I like to just simply light candles. I think during the season is when I light the most candles in my house. And it just gives off such a comforting vibe and feel. You can also have a Yule log to welcome back the light. You can decorate your own, put candles in it, burn those. You can decorate your home with evergreens for protection and vitality, be it a Christmas tree or a Yule tree, just being evergreens thrown as like garland around your house. It can lead to protection and vitality. You can also reflect on what you wish to bring into the new year and just honor the stillness before the rebirth. Honor the fact that the earth is still, and your life can be still as well. And just understanding that even in darkness, light is being born. And Yule reminds us that every ending carries the seed of a new beginning. And so that is kind of what Yule means. It is coming quicker than we think it will. And personally, this is my favorite Sabbath. And I am so excited for Yule to come around again. I'm already decorating my house for the Yule. I'm already lighting the candles, in the mood, and I just cannot wait. And I'm so happy that the season is here already. So then after that, we have Imbolc, and this is the Festival of Light, and it's typically around February 1st or 2nd. Imbolc celebrates the first stirrings of spring. The days are slowly growing longer, and though winter's chill still remains, and we know that it might remain depending on where you live until like April, the energy of renewal is beginning to rise. And so traditionally, this is the time where we honor Brigir, the goddess of the hearth, poetry, healing, and inspiration. That's why she sometimes makes an appearance in Yule, because we know that she's coming later on in Imbolc. And so the correspondences are the colors white, pale yellow, soft pinks. You can kind of think like this, the comings of spring. Symbols, again, are candles. We have candles kind of flow because we're bringing in the light. So from Yule to Imbolc to even sometimes an Ostara, candles are a really big symbol for those Sabbaths as the light is becoming stronger and stronger. We also have milk, seeds, snowdrops, and then Brigir's cross. And then the deities, like we stated, is Brigir, and then Persephone and Epona. Persephone, because she is going to be coming back from the hell area with Hades to return with her mother very soon. So the practices that you could do is just light candles to honor the growing light. We know that the light is growing more and more. This is a great time to cleanse your home and your altar, both physically and energetically. If you don't have the ability to do it physically, you can just do it energetically or vice versa. And then we begin to plan what you want to plant in your life for this year. And that can mean what you want to plant as in a garden, like make your actual plans, but then also what do you want to bring and plant into your like life yourself within you? And like, what do you want to cherish and grow for this upcoming year? And when we think of Imbolc, it's important to just remember Imbolc is all about purification, creativity, and rebirth. It invites us to awaken our inner fire and prepare for what's to come. And so this is a time for preparation of what we want to see coming as the light grows stronger and stronger. Leading up after Imbolc is Ostara, and this is the spring equinox. It is around March 21st. This is when day and night are equal now. So it is a perfect balance. And Ostara celebrates fertility, growth, and the awakening of the earth. So in our last solstice, we had the night being the longest day, and this was essentially the rest before the renewal. And now that we're in Ostara, we have the actual awakening of the earth and the renewal that we have been waiting for. This is involving a lot of eggs. We have hares and rabbits and flowers, all symbolizing this season of renewal. You will have a lot of different fertility aspects and symbols such as eggs, rabbits, flowers, seeds, all of those things that really show us rebirth and fertility. And the colors are your typical spring colors like your pastels, your greens, golds, sky blues. And then the deities that you can work with is Ostara, Freya, and the Green Man. So some practices that are very common during the Sabbath is just to decorate eggs as blessings for new beginnings. Spending time in nature and observing the balance around you. This is a great time to get outside because sometimes you have like the chill of the morning, but then the days are starting to get warmer and it's just trying to plant seeds. And this is, again, literally and symbolically, you might actually plant seeds for your gardening at this time, depending on where you live. But then you also want to symbolically plant the seeds for your goals. And in bulk, we've thought about what we want to plant. Now in Ostara, we are actually planting that. And Ostara just teaches us balance. The light and dark are equal. Inner and the outer body need to be balanced, body and spirit. And it's a time to nurture what we've begun. We've begun to plant these goals in our life. And now we need to nurture those goals and grow them, just like we nurture our plants in our gardens. So as we continue in the Wheel of the Year, our next Sabbath is Beltane, which is the Fire Festival, and it's around May 1st, also known as May Day, depending on where you are and you have the maypole. This is the Sabbath that is bursting with life, passion, again, fertility. And this celebrates the union of the goddess and the god. And so it's got a very heavy aspect of sensual magic, sexual connotations with it, because it is the union of the male and the female. And it's just the time where the earth and the sky are coming together, and it's just the full blossoming of nature. Everything is being fertile. Everything is being reborn. We have a lot of just celebration of many different things, from the union of the goddess or goddess for just the passion of life, creativity, the beauty of just being alive. And some correspondences with this are the colors red, pink, green, and white. The symbols, like I've said, are the maypole. We have flowers, fire, and ribbons. And then some deities are Flora, Pan, Aphrodite, that you can all work with. They are all tending to be more of the like love goddesses, the beauty goddesses or gods, and the jovial goddesses and gods that just want to enjoy life and experience life and the beauty of being alive. So some practices that you can have during this time is dancing around a bonfire or a candle. It is a perfect time to start making fires outside because, again, the nights are still getting a little cold. It's beautiful during the day, and it's just a wonderful time to get outside. You can decorate your altar with flowers and symbols of love and joy. You can celebrate sensuality, creativity, and like I said before, just the beauty of being alive. And Beltane is all about creation, the sacred spark that gives us life. It reminds us to embrace joy, connection, and just the overall abundance of the present moment. So Beltane for many people is just a fun Sabbath to have, because it reminds us of how amazing it is to be human. And it sparks that creativity in people and that passion in people, and just reminds us of how amazing it is to just be here. So following up after Beltane is Litha, which is the summer solstice. So just like the winter solstice, this is the opposite. It is when the sun stands at the highest point in the sky and is the longest day of the year, and is typically around June 21st. Litha is a time of abundance, strength, and gratitude. Typical colors around this are all of the colors that remind us of the sun and like the green grass. So we have gold, orange, yellow, and green. The symbols are the sun wheels, oak leaves, herbs, bonfires. Everything that you can picture that deals with summer is probably involved with this Sabbath. So the deities that we work with is the Oak King. We have the sun gods and the goddesses like Ra and Helios, and any other sun or sun goddess or goddess that you god or goddess that you might work with. And some practices are just purely being outside. Just get outdoors during this time and soak up the sun. Gather the herbs that have grown, charge your crystals in the sunlight, or simply just give thanks for the blessings in your life. Litha reminds us to shine fully, to step into our power and enjoy the fruits of our work, knowing the cycle will soon begin to wane again. It is a good time to remember that it's amazing to have the sun here. It's beautiful to see how we have shined throughout this time, but then to be mindful that the sun is going to soon wane again, and it's all coming around to restart that cycle. because after Litha, we have Lammas, which is the first harvest, which is around August 1st. So Lammas honors the first grains and the blessings of hard work. It's named for the Celtic god Lu and a deity of skill, crafts, and harvest. And so this is when the days start to get shorter. The colors involved here are gold, orange, and brown. The symbols involve everything with the first harvest, such as bread, corn, wheat, sunflowers, anything that we start to harvest during this time period. And like I've said, our deities are Lu, Demeter, and Ceres. Some practices that are typically seen during the Sabbath are to bake bread or share a meal from the local grains. So using what you have harvested in creating food for others, reflecting on what you have accomplished this year and what still needs tending to, because we're not done tending our garden. We still have things that are growing, things that can be harvested, but some things are ready to be harvested now. So Lammas is always about gratitude, sacrifice, and the first rewards of the seeds we've sown, both literally and metaphorically. So it's the first of your garden to grow, but it's also the first of the seeds that you've grown inside yourself that you're seeing come to fruition. And so our next harvest festival in the turning of the wheel is Mabon, and this is our autumn equinox around September 21st. This is again when the days are once again equal. The final harvest have been gathered and the earth begins to descend into rest. So this is when we start seeing that rest come. The colors are deep red, brown, and gold. This is kind of the pinnacle of what everyone sees fall as. So our symbols are apples, pumpkins, the cornucopia, leaves. What we picture fall and all of those symbols kind of falls in with Mabon. And the deities we work with are Mabon, Persephone, and Pomona. Some people might also work with Demeter in here because it is the time where Persephone leaves Demeter, and that those two tend to go hand in hand with one another. Some of the practices that you'll see here is to celebrate balance and gratitude, understanding that some things are coming to an end and that you need to let go of some things. And this is a time to remind us that that is okay. And spending time reflecting on the year's blessings and beginning to release what no longer serves you. You've spent a lot of time working on what you've planted and your goals that you are growing. And that means you've probably also come to realize what no longer serves you and what you need to let go of and what you need to release in order to continue to grow when the wheel starts again. And so Mabon teaches us to honor both abundance and release, to take stock of what we've gathered and preparing for the upcoming quiet. And then that leads us to where we have just been, Samhain, the witch's new year, which is around October 31st. We have just recently went through the Sabbath, and this is the end and the beginning. We all know that this is the time where the veil between worlds is at its thinnest. We honor our ancestors, our shadows, and the internal cycle of life, death, and rebirth. A lot of the colors associated with this are the blacks, orange, purple, and silvers. Symbols are again the candles. This is when candles start to come in as that symbol. We have apples, pumpkins, and then photos of your ancestors. Bringing those ancestors in and celebrating them and honoring them and talking with them. And then the deities are the crone, Hecate, Morgana, and Anubis. And then some of the practices that you can do during this time is just holding a dump supper to honor your ancestors, a quiet feast that you have, leaving a seat open at the table for any ancestors who want to come. Light candles for loved ones who have passed away. Reflect on what needs releasing so then you can move in to the new year, feeling renewed, refreshed, and awakened. And Samhain is just here to remind us that death is not an end, but a transformation. When things end, it allows new things to come into it. And so this is a time for reflection, shadow work, and renewal. And so as we go through the witch's year, and as we start turning the wheel once again with Yule, try and just take some time to think about what that means for you. Historically, every Sabbath has its own meanings, correspondences, colors, symbols, etc. But it also has its own meaning to you. You are going to celebrate each Sabbath uniquely to how you celebrate it. And it could be different from other people. Some people celebrate it with the goddesses and gods, and some people don't. I have personally never worked with specific goddesses or gods within my rituals or within the Sabbaths. I know which gods and gods go hand in hand with them, but that practice has not really fallen in line with me currently in the point where I am. And that's okay. Understanding that when we go through all this information, you might disagree with some things. You might say, hey, well, that's not exactly how I see it. And understand that that's okay. Everyone is going to celebrate Sabbaths and moments in their life slightly different than other people. And so this guidance is just an overall look at the Sabbaths, an overall view of the history behind them, the meanings that I've grown from them, and just some correspondences that most people will follow. If you have other colors or other symbols or other deities that you feel strongly pulled to working with in these Sabbaths, then do it. If it feels right to you, then it's right. It doesn't have to feel right to everyone or anyone else, as long as it feels like it is the right thing for you to do. And you know that your higher self is leading you and you're hearing the goddess and God walk you down that path. And so with that, I want to just close this podcast up with just a very, very brief grounding like I typically do. And so take a deep breath in and let it out. I want you to feel your feet connecting to the earth beneath you. Strong, steady, and alive. And with every breath, imagine light flowing up through you, grounding and centering your spirit. With every breath, feel your cells being realigned with the terrestrial energy flowing up through your roots and out through your crown. And allow a beautiful celestial energy to come into your crown and out through your roots. Take this time to ground yourself, to release any energy that no longer serves you back into the earth, and thank the earth for its help in centering you, grounding you, and preparing you to turn the wheel again, the wheel of the year, once again. And as the wheel turns once more, may you carry forward wisdom from the past, hope for the future, and love in the present. So with that, I'm hoping you feel more grounded and centered. And I want to thank you for joining me on Cradles and Candles. I hope today's episode has inspired you to find a little magic in your everyday life. And remember, wherever you are in your journey, curious, learning, or fully immersed, you're not alone. And if you enjoyed this episode, please consider subscribing, leaving a review, and sharing it with someone who might need a little magic in their life today. You can also follow me on Instagram at Cradles and Candles for more guidance, inspiration, and community, and also on TikTok at Cradles and Candles. And so until next time, keep your candle lit, your heart open, and the magic alive.